Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Equip You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And with us today is a return guest, Haley Williams. Haley, welcome to the show, sister.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Can you just, I think it's been maybe a year now since we've had you on. Can you catch us up on what's been happening in your life, marriage, ministry, and what are you working on ministry project-wise?
Sure. Well, I'm in the season of really busy motherhood. The latest update is that we started homeschooling this semester just right after Christmas. And so I'm homeschooling my 9, 7, and 4-year-old. So that has become really my primary focus and ministry. And I could not be happier. I am still doing my podcast Kindled, just at a little bit of a slower pace since, you know, homeschool is definitely taking the bulk of my time and energy. But yeah, it's just a really good season. And then we announced I announced that we are expecting our fourth daughter this fall, or really kind of late summer. And so we're really excited about that. But yeah, it's just a, I don't know, a full and busy and really good season of life. So it's going great. Yeah. And then as far, you know, I've stayed active on Instagram. That's where I like to stir the pot all as always and, you know, bring up whatever's going through my mind. So we've been having a lot of fun with the Taylor Swift conversation over there.
Yeah, that's a whole nother can of worms. Maybe we should talk about that another time.
But yeah, yeah.
Well, I know today we're going to talk about the IF gathering. Mm-hmm. And this is a whole movement. Haley has a lot of thoughts, a lot of research that she's done. Well, can you tell us about the, you know, what the IF gathering is and the purpose of it and those things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is actually the 10th year of the IF gathering. This 2024 event is 10 years since it began. And it is the kind of brainchild of Jenny Allen, who founded it. And the inspiration for it was the question, if God is real, then what? And so that was the premise for this ministry and this organization that has really launched and become a international ministry and organization. It's women from all over the world travel to IF Gathering. It is huge. It is popular. It's very mainstream. It's sold out this year. I think it has sold out the last few number of years that I've seen. And it's just, it really seems to be growing. It's growing in popularity and reach. And so I think that many Christian women have heard of it. It's also being, not only can you attend in real time and at the event itself, but it is live streamed at local churches all over really the world. And so, you know, even in my city a few years ago, when I was watching the IF gathering every year, I went to a local church, saw it live streamed, attended. You know, they have discussion groups that kind of correlate with the speakers as you're watching. And so they're doing a very good job with the promotion and marketing and kind of outreach for this event. So it's very, it's just really big. And I think a lot of Christian women have heard of it, even if they're not really totally sure what it is. Like the name is just pretty big. And then they also have some resources for localizing IF. And that just means like resources for neighborhood discussion groups, that sort of thing that I also used to participate in. So that's kind of what it is in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, that's really good. So, you know, what are some positives about the IF gathering that you have before we get to the, you know, the concerns?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think starting off, Jenny Allen just seems to be a very sweet and genuinely kind person. I don't think that she is like ill-willed or seeking to mislead anyone with her events. I think she really believes that she is doing God's work and she is serving the, you know, the body of Christ and bringing people together to kind of ask that question, if God is real, then what do we do about it? So I want to say that up front, like anything that we're going to critique today is not, you know, an implication that she is dishonest or seeking to deceive or mislead. I don't doubt her salvation. You know, I don't doubt that she has a good desire there. I just think there's a lot of misguided, you know, stuff kind of going on that we'll talk about later. But the other big positive I'll say is that the local events, I should say more of the resources for neighborhood discussion groups, it was called IF Local, like IF colon local. So I used to participate in that, and I actually learned about it through IF Gathering, of course. And what it was they would provide monthly discussion prompts and cards where you could print off these conversation starters, questions that you would like turn over on the table. You would invite a bunch of women over, have some food, you know, you'd have your neighbors over, and you would have people pick a card and they would have to answer the question. And then everybody would go around and answer the question. And they weren't necessarily like spiritual in nature always. They were just maybe thought provoking or just to get to know each other. And so I don't think that that is even a bad concept. Like, I think that it can be helpful, you know, to just have people over and have conversations about, you know, life, or even semi-deep conversations that don't necessarily reach all the way to, let's say you're talking about the Bible with someone, because you've got to build a relationship, right? So I think that creating some pathways for sharing the gospel is a good idea. And I think that that is admirable. But what I would say about it is that I never would have reached a place of really knowing how I should share the gospel or why I should share the gospel with my neighbors if gathering was like where I stayed at a spiritual maturity level. If that was all that I consumed, I don't think I would have had the motivation doctrinally or scripturally to really know why I should share my faith or how to even really do that well. And so that would be the problem, is like it has this good heart behind it, but I don't feel that it really equips people to do that work, if that makes sense. It's kind of just this idea of building a longer table, but potentially not really speaking any truth that would offend to someone.
No, that definitely makes sense. It sounds very much like a hospitality movement. You know, like you just go over to people's houses and enjoy and hang out, but maybe not have any like real substantive, meaningful type conversation.
Right. Or like that it stays shallow forever. I, you know, it has to start somewhere, right? But then like how do you ever grow? And the last positive is just really not about if, but it's about that God is God. And so what I mean is just that like if gathering might be someone's first introduction to the gospel or to the Bible, and they may hear some things that are true at that event and even good. And that might prompt them to look deeper and grow. And wherever that happens, I'd say God is using all things for his glory and our good, the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, like Romans 8:28 says. But that's very different than saying if gathering is something that you should attend as a believer and as someone who's wanting to grow in your faith.
Yeah, that's really good. So what most concerns you about the if gathering?
Yeah. So I think there's kind of three categories. The first one is the premise of the organization and the solution offered. And the next is the doctrinal matters, that the doctrinal issues that both Jenny and then those who she associates bring up. And then her partnering with either false teachers or people who just teach false teachings, because those are two different categories. Just the continued partnership with those people are the kind of three points that I want to hit. But on that first one, the whole idea that like, if God is real, this is, and I want to, before I even go any further, I want to give a little shout out to Michelle Leslie, because she has a website where she really provides a very thorough breakdown of so many teachers, including Jenny Allen, and where they either depart from scriptural teaching or maybe partner with false teachers. She has a lot of documentation on that. Some would call it heresy hunting, but really she's just providing evidence of like, hey, if this person is perpetually speaking to a mixed audience on a Sunday morning, they are violating scripture, right? By preaching to men, if it's a woman. And that's what you find with a lot of these female teachers that I'm going to talk about today. But anyway, so before I go any further, just wanted to give a shout out to her. But the if God is real concept is kind of a problematic premise for a Christian ministry, right? Like almost asking the question, it's the whole ministry is based on a question, not so much a statement. And I think that just as a, in a nutshell, kind of does define what you will, or what you should expect to find at IF. It's not really built on this like rock solid, stake your life and your eternity on that certainty that God is the creator and that our only hope is Christ for salvation, you know, that he's sovereign and that God is real. And so I think just like that approach of asking a question, if God's real, then what, gives you a vibe, gives you a feel for what you're going to find there. And then their answer to that question is just not really biblical because, as I said, she does have a partner or a history of partnering in ministry with false teachers, female pastors, women who preach to men. And I would just say overall shows a lack of discernment in the choices that she's made with her ministry, especially as it's grown 10 years. I would have hoped to see some more growth, you know, kind of in her personal choices of who she partners with over those 10 years, but it feels like it's kind of the same thing every year. It's recycled, regurgitated, the same type of stuff. So that's kind of the first issue. Okay. So some of the guests, and so let's talk about first Jenny, just personally, because she is the founder, she is the figurehead of it. You know, I think it's important to go to the source, you know, not just say, well, here's who she has at the conference, but what does she believe? Who does she associate? Where has she done speaking events? Who does she have on her podcast? Whose podcast does she go on? And so, some of the guests that she's had on include, people who I would say either are false teachers or are promoting false teachings. And I'm just going to go through a few of them. So Priscilla Shirer, I'm not going to be able to get into like depth on every single one of these, but I do have some high points on some of them for you to look into further. And then Michelle Leslie's website is another good resource. But Priscilla Shirer, Crystal Evans Hurst, Beth Moore, you know, Beth Moore has made her main gist of her ministry lately opposing Donald Trump and his fans. And she's more angry at Trump than she is at abortion or illegal immigration or any other number of issues. Her daughter has been very outspoken about that as well. Christine Kane, who again does share false teachings regularly, also preaches to men. Diversity expert and Black Lives Matter supporter, Latasha Morrison. Jenny's done multiple episodes with Latasha. Latasha is the founder of Be the Bridge, which is basically an organization that teaches CRT through a Christian lens, which is critical race theory. And I used to listen to Latasha Morrison on Jamie Ivey's podcast. I was like deeply embedded in this world. So I feel like it's hard for me to sometimes communicate all the issues because I just witnessed them and they were part of my, you know, awareness and like personal experience that I'm trying to go back and dig up what are the actual issues, because it was so obvious to me at the time. Now to come back and like reevaluate it from a just sort of like documenting what was said is really interesting. But essentially, Latasha teaches that, you know, when you come into her groups, it's very like do the work to become an ally, but you're always going to be racist and have inherent racism. Because if you're white, racism is prejudice plus power. You have to do the work to build bridges, which means actually that white people, when they come into her group, they're not allowed to speak for a number of weeks. They just have to listen. It's really, really odd, very not biblical, very anti-biblical to this idea of racial reconciliation. It's a very hopeless and anti-gospel approach, to be honest. So that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, these are the people that Jenny has done lots of ministry stuff with. Just last year at the conference, she had John Mark Comer, who has written a very popular book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Which alongside some good ideas about rest and slowing down in your life, he also teaches from a pretty progressive lens about God, sin, salvation. He teaches contemplative prayer, Lectio Divina. He has more of a mystical approach to what he calls spiritual formation. And terms like that were present in our old church where we left about 4 years ago. We were actually, as a church, using John Mark Comer's small group materials in our small groups for our main resource. And he has this whole new website called Practicing the Way, which is has a big emphasis on emotional health. And I would describe it as kind of a modern psychology-informed approach to spiritual growth. So it's very secular in nature, not biblical based. It's not word first, you know, world biblical worldview and let's view the world through the Bible. It's more like let's view the Bible through the lens of modern psychology and emotional health. And that's how we grow. The key is in understanding these other things, these other ideas. But it's a very edgy and popular take, very mainstream, big Eva. And so you kind of just have this feeling that you're sitting at the popular kids table, you know, wherever Jenny is, it's like the popular people in the larger movement of evangelical life. So the Beth Moores, the Max Lucados, Jamie Ivey, Annie Downs, Bianca Olthoff, Christine Kane. And what I'll say is like, I watched 3 years in a row from I think 2018 to 2020. And I was very committed to this. Like I loved the events. I remember 1 year I was watching, I was like 6 months pregnant, painting our kitchen cabinets. And I had it going on my laptop and was listening and watching kind of simultaneously on a Friday night. And I really like set aside time for this. I loved it. I thought it was helping me. But I think like one of the things that I've noticed just as I've grown in maturity is that when you're a baby Christian, you depend more on feelings to kind of fuel your spiritual life. The feeling of being close to God, the feeling of intimacy with Him, the feeling of kind of being in a good spot in your walk based on how your performance is going or how you're doing, and or whether you had a really good, you know, time worshiping God at a concert or at church or wherever. Those things make you feel close. They kind of help you get revved up, focus back on God, right? But the issue for me is that they are not designed to provide, the event is not designed to provide you with more depth or maturity or wisdom. It's designed to maybe just be more of like a beautiful, meaningful experience, which I don't think is bad in and of itself, but it doesn't ultimately equip people. And so overall, I would say I felt that looking back, they are serving up milk, not meat. And so it's like a milk bar, you know, like all different flavors of milk, types of milk. Do you need milk for your marriage, milk for your emotional health, milk for your feelings, milk for, you know, the way you cope with your life? All these like topics that women would find very interesting and intriguing and probably do need help with. But the question is like, where are you getting the source of your sustenance? And so those topical teachings, you know, there really is no exposition of scripture. There's no walking through scripture verse by verse. It's more so that they would have a topic and they would pull in a couple Bible verses here and there, which I am not against any topical preaching. But the problem is like when you have someone who you don't know is a sound teacher, it's much easier for them to veer into like false teachings or twisting scripture when you're not anchored in the text, you know, and you know this, you're an expert, but that would be a major problem is you've got like women, you know, teaching who are not necessarily pastors or teachers and or people who are not really sound. And then there's less protection for them to not twist that scripture and use that for their own agenda because it's not really, they're not walking through the text. And so the individual can make it what they want. I described it as like, I felt like I was having 100 calorie snack pack after 100 calorie snack pack, you know, like those little packages you open up and my kids love them, you know, like Teddy Grahams or Cheez-Its or something. It's like, yeah, it takes the edge off your hunger, but it's nutritious. It's not going to sustain you. It's actually going to make you pretty unhealthy if that's all you're ever eating. And so I was personally a consumer of that type of Christian content, whether it be podcast episodes on how the Enneagram could help my marriage, stories of people's faith journeys, things that in and of themselves, someone may say, well, how is that problematic? But again, it goes back to it never equipped me to study God's word for myself, to know His word, to know Him through it. It kept me in this, I've got to keep coming back for more of the snack packs from these teachers. And I've got them, I need them to feed me. I need them to give me truth, you know? So I'd say in a best case scenario, you outgrow if, you know, you shouldn't be staying at if gathering for year after year after year. That would demonstrate to me that there's a perpetual immaturity going on and that you haven't graduated, you know, and I started there and I'm so thankful that I didn't stay there. So I'll stop there and let you say something.
Oh, that's okay. I'm enjoying what you have to say. What you're describing, though, is a huge problem in the church today. You know, when the word matters, we've talked about this before. We have a theology from above, which is the word of God. It's the, you know, the inerrant, inspired, sufficient, clear, and binding word of God. But the theology from below is the problem, where you have feelings and the word running on the same train tracks, if you will. And what you describe is exactly that. That's the problem with all of these types of movements, is oftentimes just about what I feel and what I think. And so you have all these, you know, why not just gather everybody together that's popular and cool, like you did in high school and when you were trying to be supposedly cool when you probably weren't. Okay, let's just be real about it. You know I was guilty of that. Okay, but you know, that's kind of what this situation is. She's worked with, she's been a featured speaker, again, Michelle Leslie. This has done great work, as you said. We've had her on the show as well. She's a great resource. She's spoken at, Jennifer Young has spoken at the Catalyst Conference. So she's teaching, preaching to men. She's been featured with a number of false teachers, including, you know, unfortunately, Andy Stanley, Brian Houston, quote-unquote female pastor, Charlotte Gamble, Brandon and Jen Hatmaker, Rebecca Lyons, on and on. She's preached at Dallas Theological Seminary February 15, 2022. She preached at the Porch September 15, 2021. She preached at Oklahoma Baptist University March 10, 2021, where all students are required to attend chapel. She preached at my alma mater, Liberty University, March 6, 2020. And on and on, you go. She has been on, let's see who it is. It's, she's been on, I know you're going to probably go here, but she's been on with Ian Morgan Cron, who's a leader of the Enneagram movement, which we've talked about many times. This is somebody to not ever listen to at all. And here she is, you know, she's listening to these people and she's supporting these people. The most concerning one to me, here is, you know, she boasted about, she's at a meeting with 20 women leaders, including Bianca Olthoff, under the wisdom of Christine Kane and Joyce Meyer, with Annie F. Downs. All of these, if you don't know who any of those names are, that's fine. But when you go look at the top podcast under Apple Podcasts, under Religion and Encouragement, they are all there. Annie Downs, Christine Kane, Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer is especially concerning because, you know, I'll just focus on this just a little bit here. Joyce Meyer is so concerning because she's just old school word of faith. Just believe it and it'll happen. And so, but where's the Bible? Where's the word of God? Where she claims to be a Bible teacher. Joyce Meyer, all these preachers, it's like supposed preachers, teachers. They're all extremely popular. And sometime, if you really want to be fascinated by the current state of the church, what I do is I just go look at Apple Podcasts and what is the most popular podcast. And like almost every single one of them that you look, there's a few of them like Costi and J. Warner Wallace and a few others. John MacArthur's on there. You know, very few that are really good and really solid. But the overwhelming majority of those on that list, they're all bad. Like almost every, you even have new age teachers on under Religion and Spirituality and the Christian Category. You have new age teachers on those lists, and that just drives me batty. I'm just like, and we wonder why we have problems in the church. It's because, like you were touching on, just to draw this out again, it's this feelings mentality. It's my emotional whatever I want. It's. You know, what am I going to get? Like, I mean, like you talked about snack packs, like how fast can I drive through McDonald's and just get my quick fix of quote unquote, drive-by theology, it's been called. And it's like, we can't treat the word of God that way. It's supposed to be a slow, steady process, you know, of sanctification, of growing, and not a snap your fingers and this is, we've arrived. And so I think you're spot on what you said. You know, you can't snack or feed on this type of theology very long without it suffocating your spiritual growth. and whatever, wherever you're at on a lot of different theological matters, this really matters, because this kind of gathering is symptomatic of a larger problem in the church today. That's why we're talking about it, because what it really gets to the heart, and what it really demonstrates, guys, is it demonstrates the progressive liberal theology that is based and rooted really in feelings above the word of God. And that should, I know some people don't like it when I say that. I understand that you don't like it when I say that, but it's still the truth. And when the church has gone this way, they have moved, as J. Gresham Machen said in 1920 in his book, Christianity and Liberalism, very famous book, never read it, read it. He says it's a different religion. That was over 100 years ago, guys. 100 years ago, J. Gresham Machen was describing movements like we're seeing with the IF gathering, movements that oppose biblical Christianity. They lead to all different paths and all different ways. There's only one path. There's only, narrow is the gate, right? The way is restricted, and it's only through Jesus Christ alone. So you're spot on in everything that you're saying. I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was looking at some of the past topics from past years. What were the, so we talked some about the speakers. I have a little more on some of the speakers, but here's some of the topics that they've addressed. So, and I also want to say, like, not all of these are immediately red flags. And I think some of them are probably good conversations to have. But I guess the bigger question would be, what is missing from this? What do you see that's not present? It's not so much that the things that are present are always wrong, although some of them are, like the racial reconciliation, social justice stuff gets very, very unbiblical very quickly. But here you go. So an honest look at the ways we cope. You know, this says, what are some of the ways that we've found more acceptable to cope with stress, pressure, or uncomfortable emotions? Maybe it's likes on Instagram, a few glasses of wine at the end of the day, or gossiping with your friends. While our culture may find them acceptable, it can mean a slow drift away from holiness and faithfulness. I agree with that. You know, building a resilient life, choosing a healthy marriage, how not to save the world, revealing God's love to the people right next to you, how to reconcile in the face of unthinkable division, the story of Rwanda. Now, I will say some of these are hard to discern what you're going to find in it unless you know something about the speaker. So I personally know something about Jamie Ivey because I was Jamie Ivey's number one fan. She was my inspiration to get into podcasting. I went to one of her in-person events, met her, took a picture. I was like fangirl number one. But she fell really hard for the social justice stuff in 2020. And so anytime I see Jamie Ivey, her talks on these events, at these events, almost always have to do with social justice and reconciliation, which, let's be clear, it's not that there hasn't been racial discord or wickedness around slavery in the past of our country, obviously. But it is, the question is, what do you view as the solution to that? Is it build equity, right, and level the playing field? Is it social justice, or is it biblical justice? And the fact that believers are unified through Christ's work, not our own good works to become allies, right? Anyway, another conversation entirely, but the best of you, break free from painful patterns and discover your true self in God. And then there's one called The Story of the Bible. So that one may be good, you know, that might be a good one. So you're going to see some good ones and some bad ones, some that are like, you know, oh, that might be helpful. Take Back Your Family was in 2022, Jefferson and Alyssa Bethke. I know a lot of people love their stuff. I'm not super familiar with them, but again, Jamie Ivey's topic was living with compassion and conviction. And she did that with Justin Gaboni, who is the founder of the AND campaign. He preaches this third wayism when it comes to politics. So he's like, neither Democrats nor Republicans have the answer. But then at the end of the day, his solution often has to do with just going ahead and voting in the most compassionate Christ-like way, which his conclusion often lands on the Democrats because, you know, because they're their whole life pro-life, from womb to tomb, from not just the baby, but, you know, they provide more, you know, they want to do more education on sex ed and provide condoms and provide, you know, they want to prevent. And so there's ways that, like, these people just twist really a biblical definition of things. And again, unless you've been consuming a lot of their content, I don't think you're going to notice that as a attendee at IF 1 year. I don't think you're going to get the most controversial of any of these individuals' content, but it's going to open you up to them and sort of normalize them to you. And then as you start learning from them, you will hear more and more and more. You'll be kind of taken further down the downstream, if that makes sense, like further away from the truth and from really scripture as an anchor. And so, you know, that's just some of the content. But I actually listened to a few of Jenny's podcast episodes to kind of get a feel for where is she at today? What is she talking about? And, you know, on her podcast, you will hear a lot about the brokenness of the world and the messiness of living in it. You know, she loves those words, kind of broken and messy. I did hear her mention sin. I did hear her mention the gospel and how Christ is the solution and how it's not our works that save us. So I heard some good stuff. But I also heard how we are too quick to judge other believers' faith or souls, and we all need to have more grace for each other. You'll hear some of the gospel sprinkled in, but there are subtle notes of kind of really misunderstanding scripture's call to believers to be set apart, to stand firm, to arrive at truth based on what God's word says, and to not, I always think of, when I think of these people, the people who preach or teach at IF and the people who Jenny associates with, the verse that always comes to mind for me is 2 Timothy 3:7. And that is that they are the kind, or 3:6, they are the kind who worm their way into households and captivate vulnerable women who are weighed down with sins and led astray by various passions, who are always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so, you know, I don't think that they're trying to do that. I think that they are themselves misled. They themselves have fallen prey to some of the secularism that has really seeped into the church. Really, the church has welcomed it in, actually, and that is the syncretism that is present in big evangelicalism, that we are trying to kind of look like the world to reach the world. I think that is a big piece of it. And so you will hear some truth on her podcast, but something that bothered me was she was talking about divisions in the church, and she talks about that a lot. And you can, this is getting to back to like what you won't hear at IF Gathering. She talked about divisions in the church and said, you know, those make her really sad, and that Christians should be unified and have unity. But I feel like the thing that's missing is she doesn't have an understanding or doesn't seem to have any clue of how the division that is present in the church could be due to false teaching. And so that when you see Christians saying, I divide from that and I won't welcome that in, it's because we have to divide from error, right? We shouldn't be unified under error. We have to be unified under truth. And so, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-36, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. So I think you have to go, well, how do I interpret, you know, that scripture with Jenny's kind of big tent revival vision for Christianity, when Jesus literally is telling us that his word in the gospel is going to divide families. It's going to divide members of churches who don't actually want to hear the true gospel from those who are wolves, who have come in and are preaching a false gospel. And I think there's this idea that like any division, anything that causes division is bad and should be avoided. And so there's a pursuit of unity, but it's at the expense of truth. So you won't do certain things if it's going to cause division. You won't call out false teaching. You won't, you know, say, hey, that's outside a right interpretation of scripture. So that's out. You're out. You don't get to be at my event. You don't get to preach on my stage. You don't get to teach the millions of people who are listening and trusting me, because I have a responsibility before God, right? It's this big tent idea that even if she disagrees with some of those people who she brings in, which maybe she does, there's still a trust that is, I think, and a responsibility as a leader that is, I really don't see enough weight being put on that, that like, yikes, you know, you're really bringing in people who are actually bringing, they are the ones bringing division into the church. People like LaTosha Morrison, who are creating division amongst believers that Christ has already unified. You're not walking in the unity that Ephesians 6 talks about. You are introducing and in imposing division where Christ has leveled us all. And so I think that, you know, that's what you won't see, is you will not see any kind of anything controversial to our culture. You're not going to see stuff that talks about, how we should stand firm in the face of the LGBTQ movement. You're not going to see that because she has people who are actually pro-LGBTQ at her events. A woman named, let me see, Miss Melissa Green, who is a female pastor and homosexuality advocate, who has advocated for pro-LGBTQ legislation, promoted that on her Facebook page. You know, again, that's linked on Michelle Leslie's website. She has taught at IF or done breakouts at IF. You're not going to see them talk about, you know, the transgender movement. You're not going to see them talk about, you know, the things that are like, or how public schools have been overtaken by godless, you know, ideology and gender unicorns that are trying to indoctrinate our children and sexualize them from a young age. Like, you're just not going to get any of that. You're going to get a very like palatable, everyone will agree with this. That's what you're going to find. So if that's like, if you want to feel good, you're probably going to love it. But if you want to be challenged in your faith and grown and stretched and really get into the word, like this is not where to do it. I was going to, unless, should I pause here for you? But I have a few more notes on some of the people who she's had at the events.
No, that's really good. Go ahead.
Okay. So I mentioned John Mark Comer. I mentioned Beth Moore. Everybody knows about her. Priscilla Shirer, Rebecca Lyons, and Latasha Morrison. Jen Hatmaker was there back in 2015. I think that was before she, became affirming of LGBTQ and pretty much disassociated with any sort of churchy Christian events. Like I mentioned, Melissa Green, the female pastor and homosexuality advocate. Anne Voskamp, it's a name that goes under the radar a lot, but is, I believe, very problematic in her teachings. I read her book, 1,000 Gifts, back in that same time period, and I really missed this portion of it where she talks about writing, or she talks about how she traveled to Paris to make love to God. This was in 2011. But at the time, I totally missed that reference because I just was, again, a baby Christian and probably didn't even know what that meant. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? But I remember thinking it's weird, but I didn't really like ask questions about it. And so again, baby Christians, who is, I think I would argue, the target audience for a lot of this material, do not have the scriptural prowess to see the issues present in them. But I found an article online that was really helpful in kind of identifying where Anne Voskamp believes in a, or her books indicate that she believes in a romantic panentheism, which is seeing God in everything. That kind of undergirds her writing and teaching. So, you know, I can send you that link if you choose, want to add it in the show notes for people. It's too much to go into here. But again, there's just like these concerning things in someone's writing when you're saying you see God in everything, even the soap bubbles on the dishes you're scrubbing. It's like, God's not in the soap bubbles. You know, like, let's not go too far here. Bianca Olthoff works as chief storyteller for the A21 campaign. She's just a very like loud, boisterous, kind of entertaining speaker. It's just, again, it's very shallow. It's not deep. And let's see, Christine Kane, Michelle Leslie classifies her as a false teacher. I don't know enough about Christine Kane, but I know she does preach to women and men. She has spoken at Saddleback, Rick Warren's church, done IF Gathering, worked with Lisa Turkhurst and Anne Voskamp. Lisa Turkhurst is under Stephen Furtick's preaching at Elevation Church in North Carolina. And Christine Kane has also worked with Bethel. So again, a lot of associations that are concerning there. Oh, Bianca also believes that she receives extra biblical revelation from God about people at her conferences needing healing. So there's that. There's just a lot here. Shauna Nyquist, I used to actually be a fan of hers, and then she deconstructed. She now says, I don't believe our intuition, if we listen to it deeply and faithfully, will ever lead us outside the bounds of God's vision for humanity. So there you have it. You know, essentially, like, listen to your heart and it will not lead you astray. So how does that, like, chapter and verse, please, right? But she, again, IF Gathering, Jill Briscoe, Angie Smith, Jenny Catron, I'm not sure how to say that, Sarah Bessie, author of Jesus Feminist, who is a very vocal and outspoken progressive now. So, you know, there's so many more. Sadie Robertson Huff, again, just kind of shallow but popular with young girls. David Platt has fell hard for social justice and critical race theory in 2020. Layla De La Garza, female pastor. There's so many other things that we could talk about with all these people, but that's just kind of at a high level. When you see the people who Jenny chooses to platform at these events and who she chooses to continue to invite back, it just gives cause for going, you don't see a problem with this. You know, you don't see an issue with these people's teachings. So I must assume that you affirm them because you're platforming them, you're allowing them to take the stage, you're allowing them to really expand their influence and reach. And so it's disappointing. It's kind of too bad. It seems like someone with Jenny's years of ministry under her belt should have, you would hope to have seen someone grow out of a lot of those early years. Like I would give grace for like, oh, it started off this way, but she's really grown, just like with me. You know, I started off a baby Christian. I was having people on to talk about the Enneagram on my podcast, but I grew, you know, and I deleted those episodes and I apologized for that. And I said, man, God has really shown me where I was wrong, and you know, and I've repented of those types of things, but you don't see that with If Gathering, and so it's ultimately those issues that kind of give me reason to say, I don't think that Christians should be spending time consuming this content, going to If. I don't think there's much benefit there. I think there's a lot more risk and cost of being normalized and kind of made to feel like these people are safe and good, and then what usually happens is then you start seeking them out in other places, whether that be their books or their podcasts. And that's where you get the really, truly problematic teachings. That's been my experience anyway. So.
No, that's all really good. It makes me, as you're talking, it really seems like there's just a lack of fear of the Lord in this movement.
Yeah.
Like if you fear the Lord, you're going to want to honor his word, and you're going to want to teach his word, and you're going to want to minister according to his word. And instead, there just seems to be a genuine lack of fear of the Lord. You know, so that's tragic, you know. And David Platt, man, I remember hearing David Platt preach at TGC or T4G, excuse me, T4G 2010, 2012, and 2014. And man, he's a dynamic preacher and speaker and even author. I mean, but like so many of these people, and I could give a mile long list of names, they've all gone either woke. They've either now are supporting the Enneagram or yoga or all of the above. I mean, it's just and it's not even since 2012 or 2020 or 2020, excuse me. It's actually goes back really
Yeah, it
to
does.
around 2012. Well, you mentioned the racial reconciliation thing. I thought at the time, you know, I'm gonna check this out. I'm like, I've never heard of that. Even though I've grown up in the church, I'm like, what is that about? I'm like, okay, so we'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. And man, sure enough, come 2020 or so, you know, we found out what that was all about in a hurry, you know. And that's the, by the way, these are just like examples, because I think, Haley, the more the examples that like you've given, I've given, that people can and really understand. This is how large the problem is. And when you hear about how large this problem is, then you can be like, okay, so I should avoid that. I should avoid that. I should avoid that. But what you should also do, we should pray. It's not enough just to say these things. We should pray for these people. So we should pray for David Platt. We should pray for Jennifer Young, and
Jenny
on
Allen, yeah.
Jenny, let me say that again, Jenny Allen. Yeah. And on and on and on. We should pray for these people. You know, it's not enough just to say, okay, well, these are all the things that that are wrong about them. We should have a heart of love. Love demands that we speak, but it also demands that we pray. And we often we want to speak, but do we want to pray? Do we want to pray for those who are caught up in false teaching and error? And we should. So
Yeah, I
that's what
agree.
love demands. So.
Right. And I'm an example of someone who started out really consuming this type of content, and it was my steady diet. It was just milk, you know, and I was on a liquid diet for a number of years, but God was faithful. You know, he was faithful to me to pull me out of those, to start to show me some of the red flags of the things I was consuming. And it started with the Enneagram, and it started with actually a YouTube video of a husband and wife who really had been in the same boat. They had been really consumed with it, and they were sharing the problems with it scripturally, and the problems with even the origins and automatic writing, and just the guys who received the information. They were on drug trips, and I started going like, that is not what my church told me, you know, but it started giving me things to look into and to investigate. And I eventually, you know, God really fully brought us out of not just false teachings and beliefs, but a wayward church, and into a very sound, solid biblical church where we have grown exponentially in just 4 years. And so, you know, no, God's arm is not too short to reach people who go to the IF gathering. And I'm not trying to suggest that, you know, no Christians go and it's just a godless event. I don't, that's not what we're saying. You know, I've said a lot of times, I think you're going to hear some truth. You're going to hear some good things, but it's, a friend was telling me, it's kind of like, you know, if she were to invite some friends over and her children have the stomach bug and she's like, hey, you guys come on over. My kids are sick, but like, I'm going to feed you lunch. It's going to be great. Like, well, is her heart to be loving? Yes. But at the same time, she's exposing those friends who come over to the stomach bug. And is that really the most loving thing? Or would it be more loving to say, hey, I think you should stay home today. Like, I'd love to have you over, but today's not the best day. And I thought that was a great example. It's like, it's not that her heart isn't to do good. It's that she's also introducing some poison to that person, some sickness. And I think it's kind of that people can say, you know, you hear people all the time use this. Well, can't we just chew the meat and spit out the bones? Well, I think, yes, sometimes, but at what point do you go, this meat is poisoned? I don't want that meat. I don't want to eat that meat at all. There's no point in me chewing and spitting when the meat itself is poisoned. And so that is my concern here, is that although you're going to hear some truth, like a broken clock is right 2 times a day, you know, you're going to hear some truth because they can read some scriptures, and scripture's true. And they, again, I'm not saying that, you know, everyone who goes isn't saved, but I think there's a lot of misguided teaching, some error, that just really, for me, poisons the meat and makes me go, I don't want really anything that you guys have to sell. I don't want to, I don't want to learn from you. You're not someone who I would aspire to wanting to learn from. Now, I'd rather learn from someone like Nancy Guthrie, you know, who's going to teach me biblical theology, who's going to walk me through the scriptures, how to see the meta narrative of scripture from Genesis to Revelation and see Christ in the Old Testament, and like really equip me to know God's word and grow in it. And I think that's so exciting. And I love learning from people like her. But if you just have a topical message on like how to cope with your hard feelings, I mean, sorry, miss me. I don't have time for that. Like, life is too short and too hard for fluffy and watered down teaching, in my opinion. So yeah, that's my take.
It's a good take. It's a good take. So, you know, we've talked about, you know, concerns. I think we've hit on a lot on assessing this movement. Why should Christians speak out against this movement?
I think out of love for God and love for neighbor, you know, this, what sums up all of the commandments is, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, which implies we already love ourselves. You know, it's not a command to love yourself. You do love yourself by nature. But I think because we love God, like you said, we have fear of God and we don't fear man. And we are to pursue that. Of course, some of us do have fear of man, but we are to constantly be putting that fear to death and dying to self. And so I think because we love God and his word and fidelity to it, we speak out as a primary motivation. And then the second one is because we love our neighbor and we love people and we don't want them to see, you know, we don't want to see them get caught up or swept away by any of these potentially false teachers or teachings that are being shared from either the IF stage or from the teachers who are platformed at IF. And then those people get introduced to them and, you know, kind of drawn away into some sort of crazy movement like Be the Bridge, you know, and now are burdened and saddled with all kinds of anxieties and weights and burdens that they were not meant to bear. That is not Christ's burden for them, which is easy and light. And, you know, he's done the work. And I just think if you really love people, you don't want to see them go down that road. And so, you know, I think that it's obviously tough because there are people who have a real soft spot in their heart for this event and for Jenny Allen. And I think she's a super likable person. So I don't fault them for that. And I think I've heard that the event is very well done. It's beautiful. It's just like every detail is thought of, the gift bags, the table decor, everything is just so thoughtful. And women are suckers for that. I'm sorry. Like women like love that stuff and they eat it up. And I'm not against beautiful table settings, but at the expense of being exposed to false doctrines and to false teachers, it's not worth it to me. So yeah, I think love of God and love of neighbor.
Yeah, that's good. And of course, I'm sure we'll both hear from people who think, well, you know, you're just doing this to call them out, to gain more followers for your podcast or Instagram, social media or whatever. For me, whenever
LOL to that.
I just want to put this out here. When I talk out against these things, okay, I get some more subscribers and I get some more followers on social media. But for every follower I get to the podcast or whatever,
yeah,
I lose a lot more.
Yeah,
it's way
100%.
It's way more than two, Haley. Mm-hmm. It would be more advantageous to not do this.
Yeah.
The motivation, I just want to say this for anybody that's watching. You can see my face if you're watching the video. You can hear my voice, so there's no mistake about what I'm about to say. My motivation is absolutely zero. I mean zero. To speak out against this, other than for the honor and glory of God alone and for the good of people who are trapped in false teaching, like you mentioned. The New Age.
Yeah,
you were there. The New Age is entrapping people in a snare and a false religion that totally opposes biblical Christianity. You already talked about that. I mean, this feelings religion is really the modus operandi of the day. It's the religion of the day. I would even go so far as to say it's our default religion.
Yeah.
You know, it's the religion. We don't even have to make anything up. It's just an idol. It's the elevation of self. It's Romans 1. You know, it's what we love and what we value and what we treasure above God.
Right.
But as Christians, we're to love God, like you said, and to love our neighbor. We're to fear him. We're to love him. We're commanded. Almost every New Testament epistle has some concern with to address some false teaching or doctrine. Why though? It's out of love for God and love for neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that the motivation isn't about clicks. It's not about followers. It's not about views. It's not about any of those things. Because if it was, I probably wouldn't do it.
This doesn't serve that end.
And I also wouldn't do a whole month in June on talking about anti-LGBTQ and transgenderism and all the other things that we talk about on here. If it was about clicks and follows and whatever, oh man, it would be this show would be totally different than what it is.
Yeah.
And so would
yeah.
yours, you know. So that the motivation is to be helpful, to help people grow, to serve the church, to strengthen the church, to help them to grow, you know, as somebody who's a theologian. I'm professionally trained. I've been preaching since I was 16. I really, really want to see people get off the milk and get deeper in the word. You know, I know that takes time. I know that, you know, it takes a desire to learn. It takes humility. Of course, putting sin to death and all those things. So that is, if you don't hear, if you, you might watch this or listen to this and you're like, well, what is this all about? Why is he doing this? Why is he talk about this? I just told you why. It's not about clicks, numbers, platform, or whatever. It's about the honor and glory of God alone and the good of his people. That's why people like myself and many others like Haley, we talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's if you saw my DMs, I think that would help you understand this is not about being liked, because that is certainly not what is going on in my DMs. It's a lot more of, you know, hateful slurs and accusations, and, you know, and it's hard to speak out about these things, but ultimately we do it because we do love God's word more than we are afraid for our name or our reputation, and, you know, and God is judge. So we can live with that. I can sleep in peace at night knowing at the end of the day, like I said, what was true, I said it in love, and I'll just let him handle the rest.
So. Amen. Well, Haley, where can people go to find you on social media or otherwise?
You can find me on Instagram at haley.kindled. My website is kindledpodcast.com. And you can find my show anywhere you get podcasts. It's called Kindled. So there you go.
And Haley's show is really good, guys. I've recommended your show many times. So hopefully you've got a few more people following you, listening to you. It's a great show. I've been on there twice. Here soon it'll be three times. I always enjoy going on and talking with you. You do a great job.
Well, thank you very much. Same to you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Do you want to give us any last thoughts or anything, Haley, before we wrap up the conversation?
Oh, I think I'd just say, you know, the goal of the Christian life is to be made more like Christ and to be ultimately built up in your faith so that you grow to the full stature of Christ, sort of like Ephesians talks about. And I think that's kind of the missional verse for my ministry. I would say spend your time, your precious time, learning from people who are going to help you do that, who are going to build you up in your faith, edify you, help you grow to the full stature, and to be walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling of Christ Jesus. Don't go for the snack packs. You know, I know that it's entertaining and fun and feels good and leaves. It's easy, but it's not lasting. And so that'd just be my encouragement.
That's good, Haley. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Equip You in Grace, and may God bless you and continue to use you for his honor and glory alone.
Thanks so much, Dave. Same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.